Good morning. Today's scripture is from Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 8. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo in the land of Moab to the top of Rege across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, and the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh. All the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, and the whole region of the Valley of Jericho, the city of Psalms, and as far as Zoed. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there at Moab, and the Lord said, as the Lord had said, he buried him in Moab, in the land opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. This is the word of God.
Do you mind if we pray together just for a moment? So, Lord, we are just grateful to be here. We're grateful to be in the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we ask, oh God, that Spirit enliven us now. Open our hearts to your word. And, Lord, may these words that you've given me to speak land where they need to land and do the work that you need them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, from around 1846 to 1869, the Oregon Trail was the highway to the West. In those years, about 300,000 migrants came across from Independence, Missouri, all the way across Illinois and Iowa, Nebraska, Idaho, and into Oregon, to Oregon City, where there the settlers could sort of fan out and homestead in those rich farmlands in the West. Now, in those days, if you just showed up there, you could get 640 acres if you were a couple. You could get 320 for free if you were a single person. Oh, who says times are better today? Well, those people came across, and they were in search of promise. They were in search of a new life. But it was really difficult to get there. It was hard to get there. Death claimed many people before they ever saw that land. Disease, Indian attack, those were the major causes of death as people went across that Oregon Trail. But people also died of hypothermia because they had to ford these icy rivers. Children often were caught underneath the wheels of these wagons that were so heavy and slow moving but hard to stop. Childbirth killed many, and accidental gunshot wounds, many, many more. So thousands who started in Independence, Missouri, never made it to that promised land of Oregon. But here's the thing. Even those who didn't make it, even those who were not able to physically enter into that land, by their determination, by their grit, by their sense of adventure and their spirit of adventure, passed on something very, very important to you and to me and to all of those who did go. Passed on their spirit of promise and of hope that really became synonymous with what the West would mean to so many and still does today. Even though they didn't set foot in that land, their spirit went in to that place. It's a good thing, I think, for us to remember as we struggle sometimes, as we become discouraged, as we move towards our own personal promised lands, as we try to enter into those places, whether they're career goals, whether they are family goals, whether whatever, even in this church, those things that we can taste, we can see them, and we want them so bad, and we want to enter into them, sometimes we get discouraged because we just haven't got there yet. But it's encouraging to me to think that even in the process of striving for these things, striving for that promised land. A spirit grows within us, and that spirit affects those around us. It affects our families. It affects our sphere of influence. It affects this church. I think it's the spirit of promise, explains to me why Moses isn't just a little more upset in this reading today about not setting foot in the land of promise. As you know, they had been wandering for 40 years, Moses and the people of Israel. God had promised them this land in which they would be able to settle. Remember, he first promised it to Abraham and then to Isaac and then to Jacob. And then all the way down, successive generations were assured that this land of promise would be theirs, this place where they could live in abundance and safety and security, and most of all, this place where they would be able to worship God the way that they were meant to worship God. So this place was less about real estate as it was about a relationship with God. Remember, the core of the promise was God said, I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will be my people, and I will be their God. So this land of promise, this promise that God had, it was based on the premise that we've been talking about for a month now. The idea that the people were empowered with the ability to choose to be faithful to God, to choose to be governed by his guidance, to choose to rely on his mercy and give that mercy to others around them, to choose to partner with his presence, his real presence in their midst. And with all of that, they were to take all of that into this land of promise. And of course, God gave them Moses to lead them there. Now, Moses, you know, was a very unlikely leader. Moses was an orphan in childhood. By middle age, Moses was a murderer. At 75 years old, he was off herding sheep somewhere in Midian. But Moses had a spirit that God wanted to tap and that God knew he could work with. And look, it makes sense, right? I mean, think about it. Moses was an orphan. Why? He was an orphan because his mother defied the Pharaoh of Egypt. When the order came down that all male babies, all Jewish male babies should be killed, she said no. And she hid Moses, and it became untenable to hide Moses. She took him, put him in a basket, can you imagine? Put him on the Nile River, just in the hope that he would survive and thrive beyond the borders of Egypt. What a woman. I mean, come on, those are good genes for a leader, yeah? And even when he was picked up out of that river by the daughter of the Pharaoh, and allowed to grow up in the palace, growing up with privilege. Still, the blood of his ancestors sort of coursed through his veins. The spirit of his people coursed through his veins. And he found that even from that position of privilege, he was unable to stand watching the abuse that was visited upon his people by those Egyptians. And so he went out and he rescued a Hebrew slave and slew a slave driver, and had to run away. But look, in his spirit was the spirit of justice and of mercy. That's pretty good stuff for a leader. And even as he was out, you know, just herding sheep at 75 years old, God knew that that was a spirit he could work with. And he came in and he tapped Moses to go back to Egypt, to be that person, to stand up to Pharaoh, even as his mother had in a way. Stand up to him and demand that those people be set free. And then in a daring escape, I mean, Moses is able to bring thousands of those people out of slavery and into freedom. Come on. This is a leader with a spirit that God built upon to change him in those years that they were together, those years wandering, those 40 years, God changed him, building on that spirit that Moses had, changed him from a reluctant revolutionary to a fierce warrior, to a fiery leader, to a friend of God. Changed him into the man he needed him to be, full of this spirit. And then, 40 years later, as they come to the end of this journey, Moses is there on these hills above the valleys of this beautiful promised land, and he dies. Now you have to think, that seems a little unfair, doesn't it? And there he is. I mean, he is right on the edge. He is right there. Now, the Bible gives a reason for this. Do you all know that? That some years before, Moses had disobeyed a command of God. And he had done this in the sight of all of the people that he was leading. And at a time when it was critical that people begin to trust and obey the word of God, to have the leader, Moses, do this thing, well, it was just unacceptable. So God said the consequences of that would have to be that when he got to the promised land, he wouldn't be able to enter in. But what did enter in? Even though Moses didn't walk into that place, what entered in was his spirit. What entered in was the spirit of promise that he had given, that he had embodied, that he had passed on to Joshua, and that he had embodied and given to all of those people who would go in. And it was a spirit that even he sang about, even as he stands up on that hill and looks down into the valley that he's not going to go into. Listen to what he says. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is our rock. His works are perfect. All of his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, who is upright, and just is he. That's the spirit that Moses had developed, that God, in partnership with Moses, had brought forth in him. This kind of promise and spirit that he passed on to those people. The spirit of a people who would seek to be faithful to God, who would seek his mercy and give mercy to others, who would seek to be guided and governed by God's ways. This people who would go into that land and imbue it with this kind of love for God, with this promise. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You see, Moses, after all he had done, and as great as he was, he left this earth. He died the way virtually everybody does. And I would venture to say every single one of us will. With some ambitions yet to be fulfilled. With some borders yet to be crossed. With some promised lands out there that we have yet to enter. But still, with all of that, the spirit that he was able to bring and push on to that next generation, oh yeah, that was his legacy and his purpose. And every single one of us has that opportunity too, every single day, in the way that we live, in the way that we pursue those little promised lands of ours, and the way that we live out our lives in this church. You know, God gives us the church. And God gives us the church so we can be that place where the promise, that spirit of promise and hope and trust in God, where that can live and also be passed on to those little ones who are coming next, to the next generation of Christians. That's what God gives us the church for. To be that kind of place where indeed we come and we are shaped and we are molded by God. that we begin to understand the promise of salvation through Jesus. That we live our best lives. We live our best lives when we live the way of Jesus. That we are saved by the mercy of Jesus and that we give that mercy to others. This is the place where we learn and we help others to learn. That indeed we live with the presence, the very presence of the Holy Spirit guiding us towards living God's will. This is the place where that happens. God gives us the church so that the promise, the spirit of promise, can live. Of course, to be that kind of place, to be that kind of church, to be that kind of Christian, takes choices. Choices that we make every single day, and choices that we make as a body every single year to be sure that this place stays alive and vital and full of that promise and that hope. Because, you know, a church, just like any other place, just like a trail, can outlive its usefulness. It can become drained of its promise. My wife and I travel, you know, in our RV. Used to do it a lot. One time we were up in New Mexico, and we liked nice restaurants. So we had heard about this really great, great restaurant that was in a small town that had been long ago really abandoned. There were just a few buildings left. But there was a great restaurant there, and people from Santa Fe would go there, and travelers would go there. So we decided to go there. And we drove down this long, you know, mountain road on this with my 34-foot RV. And then after, you know, passing it a few times and, you know, making some really expert three-point U-turns in the 34-foot RV, thank you, we finally get there. And it turns out that this restaurant was in what once was a beautiful little adobe brick church. And as we walked towards this place, you know, as much as I was really hankering for a steak, the setting was just so sad to me. We walked in, and you know where the narthex was where the hostess station was. We were seated near the kitchen, which was where there used to be a little social hall. The bathrooms was where the pastor's office and the sacristy were, and preferential seating was up on the chancel. I don't know. The food was really good, but the atmosphere was so depressing. I thought, what happened to this church? Where did its promise go? Now, it's not unusual to go to small towns, you know, and you'll often see a church that's been turned into an antique mall or office space or a restaurant. And sometimes that's just what happens, you know. They say demography is destiny. And sometimes a town will just lose its people, and so the church loses its people too. It's a shame. And I mean, I guess in the best circumstances, the people of that church that can't live anymore, well, they just take their promise. They take that promise, that hope, that trust in God, and they go to another church. And that church is made all the better for it. But I also think that sometimes churches can die and maybe deserve to die because they hold too tightly to the form of church. And way too lightly to the spirit of promise, that spirit of hope, spirit of trust in God, the spirit that says, we will follow you faithfully. We will cleave to your guidance. We will depend on you and your mercy and give that mercy to others. We'll live aware of your presence. God gives us the church so that we can embody that promise. So we have a place to embody that promise. And it's a beautiful promise. It's a promise that the world needs today, isn't it? It's a promise that the world out there and that we need today. A promise that says, in God, there is freedom. A promise that says, in Christ, there is forgiveness. A promise that says, in this place, we can live our best lives. We can live our best lives. Because we are loved by the God of the universe. Oh, that's a good thing. That is a spirit of promise and of hope. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of tough to read this story because you sit there and you go, man, it's so unfair that Moses was unable to just take a step, just a walk, just a little step into that place called the Promised Land. But again, Moses died with words of praise on his lips for God. And Moses died the way that most of us will, with just a few ambitions left unfulfilled, some borders that we were unable to cross, some promised lands that we were unable to enter. Oh, but that doesn't mean that we can't pass on our spirit, the spirit of promise, that spirit of hope, spirit of trust in God, that we can't pass that on. And in the meantime, have it really work in us to make us God's people today and in this place. Amen? Yeah. Let's go ahead and pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just ask, oh God, that yes, really, you keep it in our minds, oh God, that we really embody the promise, all of those things, the promise of Jesus, the promise of your will and of your presence with us. Help us, oh God, to be that presence and be that promise in this place to all in this community around us and everyone we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.